In Bhajan Rahasyam, we're discussing about Gopi Bhav. Bhaktivinoda Thakur wants us to understand about Gopi Bhav because he's a gopi himself, as Kamala Manjari. And this is one, the form of bhajan. This Manjari Swarup bhajan, Gopi Bhav, is what the followers of Lord Chaitanya are primarily propagating as a representation of Gaudiya Vaishnavism in its fullest expression, Sabhakti Shriyam, distributing devotion to Radharani, so that to serve Radharani, one must have the bhava of Radharani and her gopis. Understand it. So we are hearing this prayer of Uddhava, who is glorifying their bhava. And it's described in the verse, he described as Ruda Bhav. That is a very high level of prema, which is experienced in the spiritual domain. Adi Ruda Bhav. It's the final limit of Mahabhav. These are all like words to us in one sense. But they're describing very exalted and amazing states of intense divine rapture and love of God. We know that we can understand, we've heard the term love of God. We have some vague idea of that. But in the technology, in love technology, there's quite specific expressions of love. They have different hierarchy, different levels and different feelings and different intensities of expression. Sneha, Man, these are the names for different levels. Sneha, Man, Pranaya, Rag, Anurag, Bhav, Mahabhav, Mananakya, Mahabhav, Madanakya. These are all technical terms and very high states of exchange between Krishna and his devotees, especially the gopis. So this purport is given here, we can read, is that Uddhava starts to contemplate, the word Govinda is there, Govinda eva nikalatmani brudhavava. He said, Govinda, this form of Godhead is the condensed form of Swayam Bhagavan Parameshwara. Govinda is the original person. Govinda gives pleasure to the Vrijvasis with the sweetness of his form. Because Govinda, Vinda means to give pleasure, and Go means senses. So all of our senses together make our form. Our eyes, our nose, our hands. Karmendriya, Ganendriya. Our body is made of senses. The hands are the sense of touch. And the ears, and the eyes, the nose. So all together, the limbs of the body, the trunk of the body, the head, and the eyes. This makes the body. And when the Vrijvasis see Krishna's form, or have any contact with Krishna's body, all the Vrijvasis become very, very happy. They get pleasure. So Govinda means that Lord, that form of Bhagavan, who pleases the senses of all the Vrijvasis. Govinda. Govinda Madi Purusham. That form of the Lord that gives pleasure to all the Vrijvasis by pleasing their senses. And you see, when you read Bhagavatam or Govinda Lila Amrita, Krishna Bhavanamrita, Krishna Kumudi, how the residents of Vrindavan, whether they're human beings or animals or birds or trees or creepers or plants, or even the Bhumi herself, the earth itself, they all become enlivened and excited by contacting Krishna. Some of the birds hear Krishna playing his flute. When Krishna plays his flute and the birds hear it, they close their eyes. They become stunned. They become stunned in ecstasy. They can't even move. They become transfixed. And they just close their eyes and they just relish the sound of Krishna's flute. And they become completely satisfied. They don't want to eat any worms or any seeds or anything. They don't want to eat. They don't want to drink. They don't sing, they're like in moan. That's absorbed in samadhi. Pakshi samadhi. Pakshi means bird, pakshi. They're just in samadhi. Samadhi. All their attention, all their concentration, all their thoughts, thinking, everything is concentrated on one aspect of Krishna's form. One part of Govinda's form is swara, madhur swara, venuswara, venonad. The sweet sound of his flute, madhur swara, very sweet, dulcet sound of his flute, anand. And then the earth, when he's walking, when Krishna's walking on the earth, first of all, the earth has a quality of fragrance. The speciality of the earth has fragrance, ganda. So Krishna tells in Gita, he says, Gandha asked me, he says, Krishna says in Gita, I am the original fragrance of the earth. The fragrance of the earth is me. So what happens is that when Krishna walks on the earth, his body is so fragrant, his feet are so fragrant, quite different than other people, but his feet are very fragrant, and they smell like camphor and kapoor and chandan, sandalwood, camphor, and they smell like kasturi musk and blue lotus flower, the pollen and honey. Very sweet, very fragrant. So when Krishna walks on the earth, and the earth smells Krishna's feet, the earth takes the fragrance from Krishna's feet and gets fragrance, then redistributes it to all the flowers and plants. So when we smell a flower, we say, we should immediately think of Krishna's feet, because it is Krishna's feet that have given fragrance to that flower. Very interesting. Like someone says, oh, Krishna, you give someone a flower, they say, Krishna's feet smell so good, just imagine. This is only one of the fragrances of his feet. And I said, are you cracked? You know, this is a mogra flower. This is a kadamba flower, are you stupid? So okay, for you, it's like that, but for me, it's like this. Because through the eye of Shastra, we see the higher reality. And through the life of surrender, then we can experience the higher reality. We see the higher reality through the eyes of Shastra. What is the tattva? What is the reality? Then through a life of surrender, we experience the higher reality. So this Govinda is giving pleasure to the earth. The earth is smelling Krishna's feet. And Krishna, the earth is going, looking up, Mother Bhumi is looking up through the earth particles and saying, wow. She loves to look at the marks on the bottom of Krishna's feet. They're very interesting to look at. It's not just a bunch of random lines and calluses and cracks. Vrishvasis have cracked feet. It's not cracks, crevices, lines, and calluses. But it's like the chandra and the moon and upcurving line and a lotus flower and a thunderbolt and an earring and a fish and all these beautiful symbols. And Mother Bhumi's looking, wow, look at that. It's amazing. They're red on the bottom and blue on the top. And $9, how many marks are there? There's 11 marks on his right foot and there's 8 marks on his left foot. 19 marks are there. There's a conch shell there, and there's a barley corn there, and there's a chakra there, an umbrella there, and there's an ashtagon, and there's an ashtakon there, 8-sided figure, like a stop sign, like America, stop sign. 8 ashtakon, then there's swastikas, and then there's jambu fruits, right? She's seeing all this. So that gives pleasure to her eyes, so Govinda gives pleasure to the eyes of Mother Bhumi. And smell. And then what about this? Bhumi sparsha anandahe. So Krishna's feet are touching Mother Bhumi. So when Krishna's walking on the land of Vrindavan, this is a general thing that's told. When Krishna's walking on the land of Vrindavan, Mother Bhumi feels the touch of Krishna's feet. This is in Bhagavatam. And she feels thrilled by the touch of Krishna's feet. Just like the thrill a lover feels by the touch of his beloved. And the beloved, like one person can touch you and you can't stand it and you just become angry and you get all scrunched up and you want to fight. But when another person touches you, your mother, father, lover, husband, whatever, then you start purring like a kitten. It feels so good. Same touch, same hand. Even you can get scratched. Someone can scratch you. If it's your beloved and they're scratching you, then it's like, oh, it's a deep, deep muscle massage. But if it's some attacker, some gunda or something, then it's the most painful experience. Bitter. What's bitter from one becomes sweet from another. So when Krishna walks on the land of Vrindavan, then Mother Bhumi feels that ecstasy. Oh, my beloved is touching me, my beloved Shyam, Govinda. And she feels great thrill. And she reciprocates, just like when someone's thrilled or their heart is moved into an ecstatic position and their hair stands on end. It's not like we might, usually we're so gross in the West that we think standing of the hair means that it's like these movies, if you stick your hand in an electric outlet, then your hair becomes an instant afro. You know, you get instant afro, even if you have straight hair and you get 1,000 volts or 4,000 volts, and your hair goes, wah! You know, just stands out straight like some kind of wild punk rocker from London or something. But, you know, with all kinds of glue spray or whatever, however they make it stick out there. But this is not exactly what it means, hair standing on end. It means just that the hair on your forearm or wherever there's some hair, they actually rise up. Because there's some trembling in the skin, the hair, the pore of the hair, which is holding the hair follicle, it contracts. It actually becomes, the muscle contracts and it makes the hair stand up. It's not like some... Someone's hair might be standing on end, but you don't see their sika going, you know, the hair on their forearm or their, you know, chest or leg or wherever the hair may be, it will just, like, rise, you know, due to the ecstatic symptom. So Mother Bhumi, when Krishna walks on Mother Bhumi, she feels so ecstatic that the hairs on her body stand on end. What are the hairs on the body? You're sitting on them. The grass all stands up straight and tall and erect out of ecstasy. It's a sattvic bhav. Bhumi's expressing her sattvic bhavs, the transformations of her heart, the sthayi bhav of her heart in association with Krishna. So this is Govinda, the condensed form of Swayam Bhagavan, who gives pleasure to the Brijvasis with the sweetness of his form. Krishna is the giving Lord, not the taking Lord. Krishna is giving. G for Govinda, G for giving. By giving we go up, by taking we go down. By giving we go to Govinda. Govinda is giving everything and he's asking for nothing. Once we had this, we made this expression, Manikadasi. I said that Krishna takes away our everything, which is actually nothing, and gives us everything, which is his love. Because there's a verse like that in the 10th canto of the Bhagavatam, chapter 88. If Krishna especially favors someone, then he takes away everything that's keeping them from surrendering. So to paraphrase this in a riddle, I made this riddle. We think that wife and home and money and power and position, fame and all this, we think this is everything, and it's everything in this world to me, and it means everything. So Krishna, but actually it's nothing. It's all finished when we die. And don't take it all, you don't take it with you. Don't take your title prime minister with you, or your house, or your army, or your guards, or anything. You die naked and you burn up. Dust thou art and dust thou become. So Krishna takes away our everything, which is actually nothing, and gives us everything, which is his love. So this is Govinda. Govinda is giving pleasure to the Brijvasis. Govinda yati yati Govinda. Govinda, he who gives pleasure to the go, gopas, to the go, gopis, and the go, the cows. Go means one who pervades the senses, and the gopis pervade the senses of Govinda. So, Govinda means one who pervades. Pervades means he saturates, he's all over, he's everywhere in the senses. There's one bhajan, Hindi bhajan. They say, Radharani's on my left, Radharani's on my right, Radharani's in my words. It's a very nice song. Very nice Hindi song about Radharani is left and right and everywhere in my senses. So this is Govinda, that he pervades the senses. And the gopis pervade his senses. Those desiring liberation, great munis, and others who have attained liberation, who are fully self-satisfied, Atmaram, and even Uddhav, who lives every day with Govinda, as well as the Pandavas, Yadavas, Chaturmukh Brahma, and others, are all attracted by the gopis' Mahabhav and eagerly desire it. Here in the Bhagavatam, there's even prayers. Her grandmother Bhishma is lying on the bed of arrows and he speaks some verses about Krishna and Vrindavan with the gopis. So even though he's so far away, he's at Kurukshetra and he was a military man, a royal man, a man of royalty and Hastinapur and involved with all the intrigue and diplomacy and politics of Duryodhana and the whole Kurukshetra war. He knew about the Braja Gopis. He appreciated their exalted, most exalted position. And at the time of leaving his body, he's mentioning some verses to glorify the Braja Gopis' prema and their love in Vrindavan, even Grandfather Bhishma. So, even, of course, Lord Brahma, Chaturmukh Brahma. If one has no taste for hearing narrations about Ananta Krishna, then even birth as Brahma is useless. There is no gain if, as Brahma, one performs the act of creation, or as a Brahmana, if he studies the Vedas, Upanishads, and other scriptures, takes a vow, and performs other austerities. Jiva Goswami says, the life and death of a person who has no taste for hearing narrations of Sri Krishna's Prema Madhurya are insignificant and meaningless. If a person's mood is not similar to that of the gopis, then Krishna does not accept him, at least in Madhurya Bhava. He therefore sent the Mathura Brahmanis back to their homes, as described in chapter 23, the 10th canto of Srimad Bhagavatam. It's a very interesting story to compare and contrast the wives of the Brahmanis that were living on the border. They were living in Batrol village is out by Pagal Baba's place out there on the Mathura Vrindavan Road, Batrol. And it's on the border, very far border of Vrindavan and Mathura. So they were considered Mathura Brahmanis. Just like some Brahmanas live right downtown and by Vishramgad, but then some live out in the suburbs of Mathura where they do their work at the Vishramgad. Like you live in the city or you live out in the suburbs and commute. The Brahmins that live outside of Mathura, they commute a couple of kilometers every day into the Dwarkadish temple and other places. So these Brahmins were living in the country and they were doing some, the husbands were doing some sacrifice in the house, some yajna. But they were considered Mathura Brahmins. They were probably Chobes, one of the famous families of Brahmins in Mathura. But they had heard a lot about Krishna from the Pulinda women and the fool wallies, the flower salesmen, the sales ladies, and they were attracted, and they were very interested. And they were hoping against hope to have some kind of darshan, and they even wanted to have some connection with Krishna. They were starting to fall in love with Krishna. Poor Virag was awakening. But they were not gopi anugatya. They heard something, they became attracted, they became interested and curious, but they did not submit themselves to any braja gopis. That was their misfortune. But somehow, Krishna came there one day with the coward boys, and on the plea of being hungry, he sent the boys to beg food from the yajnik Brahmins, their husbands. The Brahmins wouldn't even listen to them. They didn't even pay attention. And so they went back and reported, and Krishna said, ask their wives, tell them you're begging food in the name of Balaram. So they went back, and then all the Brahmanis, or most of them, they ran out of their houses with all the fruits meant for the yajna. And they came to offer them to Krishna and Balaram. And of course they did. And that's the similarity there. Of course, they were married wives and they're running away from their husbands at the time of yajna. And the husband can't do yajna without the wife sitting next to him. So before their appointed time to be in the yajna was there, they ran away. And that's not permitted. It's not allowed. You can't run into the forest to be with some other man. Right in front of your husband's nose. So they had that much enthusiasm, that much eagerness to abandon many things. They abandoned Aryapatam and they abandoned their families. But they hadn't come to the point of surrender or submission to the Braja Gopis, because that's a big thing, to be a Brahmani and put yourself, become anugatya, become submissive to a coward girl. They couldn't give up their social distinction. There's their prestige. What is commonly called like pratishta? This pratishtata, this desire for honor and distinction. Okay, they were falling in love with Krishna, but they were still Brahmanis falling in love with Krishna. And they didn't understand the prescribed way. Uddhava's telling, Brahma's telling, Shankar Shiva's telling, and Lord Brahma is telling, everyone is telling, if you want to attain Krishna in the mood of Madhurya Bhava, the only way you can attain that fortune is by the mercy of the Braja Gopis. That's their realization, although they're so prestigious and so powerful. So these Brahmanis were really missing the point, because they didn't catch up the point that you have to be anugatya, sakhi anugatya. You have to be coming in line or in submission to the Braja Gopis. So they ran out there, and Krishna has the same dialogue. He said, oh, why have you come? Exactly the same Sanskrit slokas were there that are in the Rasa Panchadaya. And 10th Canto, chapter 29, 30, 31, 2, 3. When Krishna is greeting the gopis, oh, why have you come? Have you come to smell the flowers? Have you come to see the bright shine and the gleam of the moon, the full moon? Have you come to see the Yamuna, or smell the fragrance of the flowers? Oh, it's very dangerous. So he's using the same, exactly same Sanskrit lines. Oh, is everything all right? How may I serve you? And then they got all official and got all afraid. The Brahmanis got all afraid and official and then became, oh, well, we just want to give you these fruits and I guess we'll go now and bye. And they were all shivering and then they went back. And then the gopis, when Krishna was saying this, exactly the same things with the gopis, so you can compare and contrast, because the yogic Brahman Leelas, they're shown, these are ladies interacting. It's almost like Parakeet, but not quite, because they didn't get to the point. Final point, but that's in chapter 23 of 10th canto. It's a prelude to the gopis, which is six chapters later in chapter 29. Then you can see the pure form of Gopi Bhava, the pure form of Madhurya, and the pure form of Parakeya, Braja Parakeya. There's no hesitation, there's no personal consideration, there's no fear, and there's no doubt. And the gopis' path is the only straight and clear path direct to lotus feet of Krishna, Madhur Bhava, and Vrindavan. So when the gopis were in, you know, he was giving the same lines with the gopis, what were they doing? They weren't becoming fearful and feeling very, oh yes, you're right, we better go home and be with our husbands and our children. They were scratching the ground with their toenails, and hot breath was coming, and hot breath was coming out of across their lips and drying out their lips, and their hearts were burning. What is he saying? You know, we're not. There's no way, Mr. Big Boy. We're not going anywhere. Our feet. When they had a chance to speak, they started telling him so. Our feet can't move an inch from here. You call this here? Hey, no way, buddy. We're not going anywhere. You can talk all kinds of nonsense, but we're not moving from this place. You can go, but we're not going. We're fixed here. This is our place. So there's quite a difference, because they perform the ultimate sacrifice without a drop of fear about reprisal or bad fame or anything. Krishna delivers all jivas from material existence, even those who are low and insignificant. He nourishes them accordingly with the prema of the gopis, who are situated in his heart. Gopi in Krishna's heart. Krishna propagates prema. He relishes this extraordinary prema and makes others relish it also. He increases prema in those in whom he gives it. The name of this potency is Gopi. The name of the prema potency which Krishna distributes is Gopi, because he hides it in the heart. Goop. Uddhava is profusely praising the greatness of the Braja Devis. He establishes the superiority of a married gopi's paramour mood in comparison with the mood of a husband and wife. This paramour mood is not possible anywhere else except in Braj. Parakeya Bhav, paramour ras, is produced by unprecedented astonishment. So we'll read verse 26 tomorrow. So he's showing that they couldn't get it. These Braja Brahman, these yogic Brahmins couldn't attain this. Is Parakeya Bhava, because they were attached to their husbands. They finally went back. Krishna tested them and they failed the test. Why? Because they didn't have the mercy of the gopis. Without the mercy of the gopis, we can't pass the test.